ELC Radio.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's our very special guest from Abundant Living Faith Center in El Paso, Texas, Pastor Jared Niemann.
Church, y'all doing okay today? Do you want to know the score of the game? Or, you know, I'm a Cowboy fan, so we lost hope a long time ago. At least the 49er fans have hope this year. The Cowboy fans, we're gonna fire the coach, we wish we could fire the owner. We might fire Dallas if we could, man. Everything needs to start over, you know. Hey, lift your hands towards heaven. Let's pray. Father, we honor you and glorify you. We praise you. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being in your church today. We thank you for honoring us with your presence. We thank you for what you have done, what you are doing. And by faith, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in our church and in the men and women in this room. Father, I declare that the end of this year is going to end strong, and it is going to be a launching pad into an amazing new decade and a new year. I declare by faith, Lord, that 2020 is a year of miracles. We don't just sing the song. We believe it. We will walk in it. And we know, Lord, that you are faithful to move in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. All right, on the count of three, we're going to give God the greatest shout of praise. One, two, three. Come on, Elevate. Come on, you can do better. We're talking about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Come here. Come here. This is my travel partner, Caleb. My seven-year-old boy, and he wants to go everywhere with Dad, don't you? Yeah, we're very close. All right, go sit down. Say hi. Well, you want to say hi to everybody?
Hi.
All right. Okay, go sit down. Okay, say hi to the people around you one more time. You can be seated. I just want to say what a privilege it is to be here. I really do feel like I'm at home. You know, El Paso's 90% Hispanic. So I walked in, I was like, oh, my God. Did I fly from El Paso to El Paso? Did they trick me? I do want to say what a privilege it is to be here. I love the season that you're in. Some pastors cringe at these seasons. I crave them. The people that know me really well know that if I'm not in a building project, I pretty much get bored. And I almost kind of don't know what to do with myself. I believe that the kingdom of God should permanently be pressing forward, pushing down boundaries, and constantly engaged in building and growth. I believe that with all my heart. 2 years ago, we opened what we call our second church. We don't call it a campus. It's a church. Our first church is a 180,000 square foot facility that seats 3,600 people. And we run four services every weekend and a Wednesday night. And then we built another one, the small one, that's 100,000 square feet and it seats 2,000 people. And we run three services on Sunday and a Wednesday night service as well. And when I led the project, and when we were finishing it, I started asking, okay, Lord, well, what's next? What's next? What's next? So I'm going to do something that's not normal for a visiting pastor. I'm going to talk to you like I'm one of your pastors. Is that okay? Normally, a visiting pastor goes through his scroll of notes, and he picks the home run message, and he just comes and preaches that home run message. And I've got like five of them, and I could get you all riled up today. And you'd be standing and cheering and all that. And hopefully I'll get invited back in the new building and I'll come preach one of those messages. But today I'm just going to talk to you about the season you're in. And I'm going to talk to you the way I talk to my church. Is that cool? Okay, so can we just be chill and we can be like family? Like my dad is your pastor's pastor. And I've been walking through this with Pastor Sergio and Tina. In all the details in the last 6 months, we've been having long conversations. So much so, I've seen your financials, okay? So, like, I mean, I feel like we're part of the, you know what I'm saying? Like, other than you all like the 49ers and I like the Cowboys. And you like the Raiders. You're as hopeless as I am. That's cool, man. Like, man, you're the only dude in the building that's as hopeless as the Cowboy fans, man. It's cool. It's cool. We thought Gruden was going to do something. He didn't do nothing. He did end Antonio Brown's career, though, didn't he? I mean, that's crazy. All right. I do like to joke around, okay? So you just play along with me. We're going to have some fun. I'm calling this having a heart for the house. And I'm just going to speak right into your heart today. I believe that God brought me here by divine appointment. I did not want to teach this message. I'm telling you the truth. I would rather teach one of the rah-rah messages. I really would, because that's easy for me. And this is a more challenging message. This is a pastoral message, okay? But the truth is that I believe in being a pastor. That's what I am. I'm not a traveling minister. I'm a pastor of a church. And I believe in the local church. I love that my dad brought up that scripture about being a gateway to heaven. That is what church is. It is a gateway to heaven. Can you imagine if someone told you, hey, you can take a train and or you can get on Southwest and fly 2 hours south and get Uber and go 25 minutes and there will be a gate. And if you just walk to the gate, but you don't have to do anything. All you got to do is get there. And once you open the gate, you will walk into heaven. Can we all admit that every person on this planet would be going to that gate? Come on, talk to me, Elevate. If there was literally a gate, like that you went and opened, no code. You didn't have to have some secret password. You didn't have to be in that few invited list of Kanye's Sunday church thing. Like, how do people get into that? I want to know. Like, I'm a pastor of a church. I want to go. But imagine, you didn't have to be VIP. You didn't have to have Bill Gates' money. All you had to do was just walk down here, take a right, then a left. Open the door, and that would be your gateway to heaven. Well, did you know that our God in heaven calls the church the gateway? Now imagine if we took so serious bringing people to church that every part of their being relied on getting them to the gateway. How many of you know if there was a literal gate, you would tell all your friends? You'd be walking around work going, have you been to the gate? There's a gate, and if you go to it, you'll go to heaven. Have you been there? Hey, weird girl, in the coffee room, you need to go to the gate. I guess I'll take you. Maybe I'll just pay for your Uber. Like, let's talk for real here. If there was a literal gate, we would post it. We would share it. We'd hang out there. We would tell every person we ever met. But then we go to work and we're like, I don't know if I should tell people about my church. Well, I mean, what if they say no? What if they say yes? Thank God someone was bold enough to tell you about it. Because you used to be addicted and now you're free. You used to be depressed and now you got peace. You used to be on a gateway to hell and now you're going in the gateway to heaven. Your marriage was on the brink and now it's restored. Thank God someone talked themselves out of, well, what if she says no? Thank God they were bold enough to invite you. Imagine if we took that same passion to work tomorrow morning. Imagine if we shared every post telling people about church. Imagine if we walked around as bold about our testimony as we are the new restaurant that just opened. We'll tell everybody about the new pizza joint. Have you been there? Man, they got the best pepperoni. They're these little ones. They're not as big as the other place, but they're little, but they're so good, and they put them everywhere, and they got extra cheese. And they don't charge you for the extra cheese. It's so amazing. Have you been there? Oh, yeah, I went. I didn't like it. Well, you're crazy. Have you been there? I mean, we'll do that about a restaurant, but we won't do that about Jesus. Oh, what if they think I'm weird? They already think you're weird. What does it matter if they think you're weird? Like, they ain't going home with you. You know what I'm saying? Who cares if they think you're weird? You know that 80% of people say that they would go to church if someone would invite them? Wow. How awesome is this place, Jacob said. It is none other than the house of my God. You know, he said that when he was sitting in a field and all he had was a rock. And Jacob says, how awesome is this place? It's none other than the house of God. This is a school. And yet, today it's a house of God. The presence of God was in this place. The joy of the Lord is in this place. When two or more gather under the name of Jesus, he is in this place. And let me remind you, where the presence of the Lord is, the presence of the enemy cannot be. They cannot occupy the same space. The enemy cannot occupy the space that the Lord is occupying. So when you are in the presence of the Lord, the presence of the enemy is not in that place. That's why when you get to church, suddenly you feel so good. Have you ever noticed that? You ever notice how good you feel when you get to church? Yeah. It's like, man, I was having a bad day and suddenly I just feel better. Man, this has been a rough week and I got to church and I just felt better. Have you ever noticed you even physically feel better? Come on, somebody, talk to me. I don't know how often it is. I'm sitting here during praise and worship. I feel like I could go run a marathon. Now, there's some dudes running marathons today. Talk about crazy. People on purpose running for 3 hours. I don't get it. I don't understand that. Like, you can watch a game or go run. It hurts. Anyway. But like, I mean, I'll come in, praise and worship, tired, stressed out, burdened, got an ugly email right before I walked in. It's weird how people have that timing. But then I walk in, and it's like, whew, I suddenly don't feel tired anymore. For some reason, I have clarity. It's amazing how once you get in the house of God, that thing you've been having turmoil with, suddenly you have an answer. It's like, yeah, I think that's the right path to go down. And then not only do you think it, you have conviction about it. What is that? That is the presence of the Lord being in your heart and mind when you gather together before Him. And yet we don't take it nearly as serious as we should. We stay home to watch a football game instead of coming to the throne of Jesus. In Dallas, church attendance goes down 40% once football season starts. 40%. Ed Young himself told me that. 40%, half the church. Man. You know what it is? It's a lack for having a heart for the house of God. Okay, so we're going to get into it. That was a nice introduction, wasn't it? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Y'all good? Pastor Sergio told me I have 2 hours to preach, so... I'm just going to teach every message I've ever taught. I'm going to quote every scripture I can think of out of the Message, the NIV. Might even go amplified if we're really spiritual. There it is. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Now say it out loud with me. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Can I tell you something? That every great church in the world is built on these three scriptures. And it's not from the leadership, it's from the church body. It is that the church body places at the forefront of their heart heaven. Come on. And then they begin to prioritize what they love. And when you have a heart for the house of God, then that becomes your priority. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then he literally talks about your treasure. "For where your treasure is, there too will your heart be." Well, you didn't need me to tell you that. You know that. Who do you give Christmas presents to? The people you love. Right? And the one weird cousin that you have to. But like... Right? You want to know who I'm buying Christmas presents for? That kid right there. And his 4-year-old sister and his smoking hot mother. Like, that's who I buy Christmas presents for. I buy them for my dad, for my sister, for my nephew and my niece. That's who I'm buying presents for. Why? Because they've got my heart. A couple weekends ago, one of the women in the church, she works for us, and she's like their second grandma. She was my mom's best friend. My mom went to heaven. And she was so close to us that she was at my mom's hospital bed, okay? So that, like, that's how close she is. You get that, right? Like, you know the family by choice. She family by choice. And so she called me and goes, "Hey, I'm going to take the kids on a to do some fun stuff." It was Saturday night. Well, guess who I spent time with that night? My wife. Why? Because she got my heart. I called Carla. I was like, "Hey, you want to go to Ruth Chris?" How many of you, do you have Ruth Chris here? Yeah, that steak is from Jesus. Like, if you've never been, you need to go. That bone-in sirloin is from the throne room. Well, I mean, the Bible says every good gift came from above, and that is a good gift. So I'm saying it. I didn't call my boys. I didn't think of having alone time. I didn't go home to watch a game. No, man. That woman has my heart. And when I had some time, which is the greatest treasure you can get, I gave her my time. Do you see what I'm saying? Where your heart is, so too will your treasure be. So the question is, do we love this house? Oh, thank you for the 3 amens from Sergio and the dude right here. Man, you are awesome, by the way. Did you get a good picture of me? You did? Okay, do you want one smiling? Let's see. Great. It was totally natural, too. I said, do you love this church?
Yes.
Well, if you love this church, then this church should also get your treasure.
Yes.
It should get your time.
Yes.
It should get your prayer.
Amen.
It should get your service.
Amen.
There's some of you that have been praying about getting involved. Stop praying about it. Jesus wants you to get involved. The Bible tells you so. You don't need to pray about what the Bible says. Lord, did you believe what you said? Yes! Get involved. But also, in this season, this church needs you to give. Now let's talk about this. What you all are doing is not ordinary. And you need to understand that. What this church has done from day one is not ordinary. When the pastors intentionally went to not the neighborhood research says to go to. That's not ordinary. You want to know what that is? That's extraordinary. That's not natural. That's supernatural. That is a God-directed vision, an ordinance placed in someone's heart to go do something that is not right on paper, but it is right for the Lord, and God is going to do something amazing. He's been doing it, but listen to me, He wants to do so much more. And it's time to rise up, church. It's time to go to the next level. The next level is staring us in the face. And we're going to get there if the men and women within the church say, I love that place.
Amen.
That place has my heart.
Amen.
I'm going to give to it. I'm going to be a greeter. I'm going to be in kids. I'll go dance in a park to show the merch. I'll do whatever it takes. If they need me at team night, I'm coming to team night. If they need me to go help at that building, I'm going to go help. Because that place has got my heart. And you cannot take for granted what God does in His church. There's nothing like it. It's so special. It's so unique. It's so divine. I had a woman come up to me. We do this women's event called Holodazzle. We did it yesterday morning. And this woman came up to me. I don't do anything at it. I just go say hi to people. It's a women's event. So my sister and all the ladies do it. I just show up. It's like everybody's busy but me. And so this woman comes up to me, and she's got a 6-year-old girl. And she goes, I just want to introduce myself. I thought, oh, you're new here. She goes, 6 years ago, you dedicated her. Then she goes, do you remember? And I was like, no, I don't. I'm sorry. She said, well, let me tell you a story. She said, I dedicated her at 3 days old. Because when she was born with four holes in her heart. And the doctors told me she probably wouldn't make it to a month. She said, and you dedicated her. And when you prayed healing into their bodies. She said, I went back for a follow-up. That was on a Wednesday night. I went back on Friday. And they did a new EKG. Is that what it's called, right? Where they cardiogram, that's it. And she said that 3 of the 4 holes had closed from Wednesday to Friday.
Wow.
This woman's standing there in our bookstore crying. She goes, Jared, I've never had a chance to come thank you. I said, well, don't thank me. I just prayed a prayer. God performed His word. She said they still wanted to do open heart surgery on her. So the doctor said, I don't know what's happened. I don't understand what's happened. Oh, she goes, oh, it's because my pastor prayed. He went, oh, okay, well, I don't understand what happened, but come back in a month, and we're going to do a follow-up. And she said, so I just kept praying that that fourth hole would close and my baby girl wouldn't need open-heart surgery. And she said, so I showed back up a month ago, and the same doctor goes, I really just don't understand what's happening in your daughter's body, but your daughter doesn't need surgery. She's going to live. She's going to be okay. And she goes, and now she's 6 years old, perfectly healthy. Listen to me, my family. Don't ever take for granted what happens in the house of God, even the simplest prayer that you don't even know who you're praying for. You don't even know what you're praying, but God knows it. And I'm telling you that people are going to come to that new church that you would have never thought would go to church with you. And their marriages are going to be restored. Their finances are going to get better. They're going to open businesses that are going to give into the kingdom of God. I'm telling you right now, people are going to come into that new building and they're going to get freed from cocaine, freed from meth, freed from pills. They're going to give up on alcohol. They're going to come in and they're going to stop living the wrong life and start living the God kind of life. And no one even knows yet. But we are here today on a God assignment to get us there. We are the chosen that are going to take the mantle and get us into that building. And what is it? It's because we have a heart. Turn with me in your Bibles. Are you enjoying this? To Deuteronomy 8. If you don't know where Deuteronomy is, go way to the left. Go all the way and then go back a couple. Or just look at the screen because I emailed them earlier, the scriptures. It says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Amen. How many of you believe that new building is good land? I said, how many of you believe that new church building is good land? Come on, we're going to be able to have multiple services. Yeah. We're going to be able to have Sunday night service if we want. We can have a Wednesday night service if we want. We're going to have kids church. We can have youth church. Come on, somebody. How many of you believe that new building is good land? The worship team's going to have a place to have rehearsals. Thank you. I saw you clap. A land of brooks of water, of fountains, of springs that flow out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vine and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land in which you will eat bread with scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. I like that. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God. What do you do when he has provided for you? Bless the Lord your God for the land he has given you. Beware, Elevate, that you do not forget the Lord. Isn't that something? How God takes us somewhere and then we give ourselves credit for it. Isn't that funny? It's amazing how many people come to church when they get laid off. But then they start a business that God provides for them the business, gave them supernatural favor to get the loan to start the business. Then the business gets some customers, and where are they at? Oh, man, Pastor, it's because I've been taking vacations. So, I mean, is God just your 911 call, or is God your foundation? We'll move on past that. I'm not actually your pastor, so if I was in my church, I'd keep digging on that. But verse 14, when your heart is lifted up, don't forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which there were serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land, which there was no water, who brought water to you from a rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna. Which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Listen, then you say in your heart, it was by my power and the might of my hand that I have gained this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. You know, there's a lot to be said about the cliche talk of the prosperity gospel. Like, oh, you teach that prosperity gospel. No, I teach the gospel. And the reality is that God does want you to prosper. Here's where the prosperity gospel went wrong, is they don't tell you why. God wants you to prosper for a couple reasons. Number one, for you. He wants to take care of you. Yes. For real. He wants to take care of you. Philippians 4 said he'll meet all your needs. All of them. Physical, emotional, financial, relational. But he wants to meet your needs and to prosper you, including in your finances, for the right reason. That is the covenant that he established with Abraham, which, by the way, was one of the wealthiest men to ever walk the planet, okay? But he said to Abraham, I will bless you to be a blessing. But that type of blessing is more than enough blessing, because you can't be a blessing if you don't have more than enough. You cannot give away what you don't have. If you have never experienced forgiveness, you cannot forgive. If you have never experienced love, you cannot love. If you have never experienced generosity, you cannot give generosity. If you don't know kindness, you can't give kindness. You cannot give what you don't know. Or what you don't have. That's why God says, I will bless you, but I'm not blessing you at a basic level. I'm not blessing you at a barely get by level. I'm blessing you at an abundant level. That's why Jesus said, I came to give you life and give it to you in abundance. Why? To take care of you, but also to be a blessing around you. I was talking to Pastor Sergio last night and this morning. He's telling me all that you do in the community. And that's why God blesses this church. So that you can take church beyond the four walls. To feed people. To send people around the world. To tell people about Jesus. To give them toys at Christmas. I was halfway hoping during that video about the toys that they would just keep stacking them and they'd fall over. Because I think that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to give so many toys to people in need that they don't even know how to carry them. I hope your giveaways get so big that you have to have a volunteer team help carry the stuff to the people's cars for them. That you're giving them so much food and so much clothing and so many blankets during winter that you got to have a person there to help the woman get it to their house or to their car because it's so much. That's the God we serve. And that's why we're passionate. That's why this couple is passionate about getting us into that building. Because imagine if what God is going to do when we have a permanent place, somewhere where we can gather even during the week to get ready for this stuff. Can you imagine? Why is it that so often we allow our imaginations to run wild on everything that can go wrong or everything that didn't happen? What if we allowed our imaginations to start running wild on everything God's gonna do? On His word, on His promise, on His hope, on His faith. What if we actually started walking by faith? And we allowed our faith to just run wild. And started declaring, God, you are the abundant living God. And I declare over my life, my family, and my church, abundance of money, abundance of joy, abundance of peace, not just for us, but for our community, for our friends, for our family members, for our co-workers. God, we declare it and receive it. Why? Because you want us to live that way. I mean, the word says that he will lay up for the righteous the wealth of the wicked. What if it was our idea that became the next billion-dollar idea? Right. Oh, come on, Jared. What? Well, somebody's going to have it. Why can't it be you? Why can't your cousin get delivered from that addiction? Why can't your neighborhood get saved? My whole neighborhood, Jared? Yeah, your whole neighborhood. We only have enough faith for the neighbor. Why don't we have enough faith for the hood? I mean, God wants them all saved. Let's start believing that way. Amen. Amen. Why do we do this? Why are we in this season? It's Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the advancement of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what does it say? And all these things will be added unto you. Why do we do this? We do it for people. Watch, turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 25. Go back to the right, but not too far, just like in the middle. Are you enjoying this?
Yes.
Matthew 25, verse 31. Now, the beginning of this is the parable of the talents. Okay, you can read that on your own, but that's where Jesus says, if you'll be faithful over little, he'll make you ruler over much. But verse 31, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now listen. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry? Can you hear it in their voice? They're like, wait, what? Right? They're like, they're talking to Jesus. And they're like, Jesus, you're the one that multiplied the fish and the bread. You fed all the people. We didn't feed you. You can hear their confusion, right? So they say, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, and or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Hashtag confused. Verse 40. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it unto me. Why are we in this season? We're in this season for people. Why do we give toys out? To glorify Jesus. Why do we take food into Mexico? To give Jesus glory. Why are we giving? So people can come to the gateway. Why else do we do it? We do it for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Let me tell you this. When the kingdom advances, you advance. The church goes as the church goes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, turn with me now to 1 Chronicles. Chapter 29, go back to the left. 1 Chronicles, do you know where that is? It's a little bit to the right of Deuteronomy. Okay? This is an amazing story. This is King David. King David's original assignment was to build the temple. Because of sin, he didn't get to build it. Now, most people think, oh, poor David. He didn't get to build the temple, and it would have been called the Temple of David. Go do your research and find out what the temple is called in heaven. It's called the Temple of David. So God still honored his promise to David. And I want to tell you just real quick, there is no sin that separates you from the love of God. Okay? All right. That's another teaching for another time. Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great. Man, this is a great challenge in front of us, isn't it? Amen? Because the temple is not for man, but it is for the Lord. Now, for the house of my God, listen to what he says. He's never going to walk in this church. David knows he's going to die before this building gets built. Now, you talk about having a heart for a house. He's never even going to go there. And he says, I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, and all kinds of precious stones, and marbles in abundance. In abundance. So he went above and beyond the necessity of the materials that would be needed to build the building. And here's why. It says, moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, for where your heart is, so too will your treasure be. In the literal text, that phrase, I have set my affection, it literally means it is my delight to give unto the house of my God. So David actually found joy in giving into the house of God. And you talk about having a different experience in a church. When the church actually finds joy in giving, when the church finds joy in serving, when a church finds joy in making a sacrifice for the greater good, you talk about welcoming the supernatural power of God into your church. When the generosity of the church becomes so wild and extravagant that we actually celebrate. Oh, you got to give today? You're darn right I got to give. I'm giving my offering today. Praise the Lord. Most people are like, you want to know why? Because they haven't set their affection on the house of God. This is good. Wow. I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. My own special treasure of God, of gold and silver. Verse 6, then he looks at the leaders. Or verse 5, he says, he looks at the leaders. He says, who then is willing to consecrate himself? That word consecrate means to come with a full hand. Now imagine this building project. Imagine if Pastor Sergio and Pastor Tina had come up here and gone, guys, we've already paid for all of it. Actually, we've got all the money. Now who's willing to come with a full hand? You'd be like, my bills are full. Now that's the audacity that David had here. He goes, I already laid all the provision. I'm telling you all to set up a trust fund for it. That's what he's saying. And he looks at the leaders and says, who then will give with a full hand? Then look what the response is. Then the leaders, verse 6, of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, came and offered willingly. That word willingly means it was the desire of their heart to give resources to serve God. Wow. They gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents, 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And all of it there was already enough. That's amazing. This is the most successful building program in the history of buildings. Verse 9, then the people rejoiced because they had offered willingly. Because with a loyal heart, they had offered willingly. And the king, David, rejoiced greatly. Look at verse 14. David says, but who am I and who are these people? Yeah, seriously, who are these people? That we should be able to offer so willingly. Do you see a theme here? And here it is. He then answers the question. For all things come from you, Lord, and of your own we have given you. You want to know how you can have a willing heart to give into the kingdom of God? It's when you recognize that everything you have came from Him. And everything that is yours was His already. You want to know what it is? You go from ownership to stewardship. You want to know what makes a great church? Faith, love, hope. But truly what makes great churches is generosity. There's a lot of churches that have all the faith in the world. They've got all the love in the world. They've got all the hope in the world. But their church doesn't have generosity. You want to know what makes abundant living in El Paso great? We live in one of the poorest cities in the country. For the first time in the history of our city, our unemployment went under 7%. For the first time in the last 2 years. The nationwide average household income is $56,000. In El Paso, for the first time last year, it went over $35,000. And we have accomplished all that we have accomplished. Is it because we get big-time checks? No. We've never gotten million-dollar checks. We've never gotten $200,000 checks. What we get is a whole lot of $100 and $1,000 and $10 and 25 cents. But you know what our church is? They're generous. Amen. And let me tell you what else. Our church makes sacrifice. When we built our first big building, I was working at the church. I wanted to give $20,000 into the building project, but I was literally living paycheck to paycheck. I had no extra money. Zero. Zero. On Friday nights, I would hope my mom would call me and see if I wanted to go to dinner because I knew she'd pay. No, that's legit before the Lord. I'm telling you the truth, man. If she wanted to go to a movie, it was like, we're having a mom and son date because I had no money. You want to know what I did, though, during the building project? I gave the $20,000. You want to know how I did it? I went and got a job on Saturdays. I went and got back my college job working in the mall. And every Saturday for 3 years, I worked in the mall. And I literally gave every penny of it to the building project. And I met it. I gave 20 grand. Actually, I ended up giving more than that. Sacrificed. Sacrificed Christmas. Sacrificed vacations. Took money out of savings. Why? Because it was my delight to give to the house of God. Now, I'm going to be really bold today. And I'm going to ask some of you to make a sacrifice. I'm going to ask you to give. And I'm not going to be a hypocrite preacher. I came with a check myself. So I'm going to start today's giving with $10,000. But you know, we still need to raise 100 grand. But can I tell you, I believe that 100 grand is sitting in here. Now, I'm just going to be really bold, because the truth is, in about 10 minutes, I'm going to walk off this stage, and it really doesn't matter what you think of me. You got to like them. But I'm going to tell you something. Maybe some of you can cut your Christmas budget in half this year. You don't actually need more clothes. No, you don't. You want them, you don't need them. You don't actually need another pair of boots. Some of you girls are like, I liked this guy until right now. Like, I am so done with him. Clearly, he doesn't know the literal text of the word need. Your kids already have so many toys, you don't even know where the toys are. For real. I'm going to be so bold as to say that some of you, the Lord has already put dollar amounts in your heart and you haven't done it. So I am by faith going to receive a second offering today for the building project. And I'm going to ask you to set your affection on the house that we're not even sitting in yet. I just want you to think about it. I want you to think about the single mom that's going to walk in. She's going to walk in having no hope, not knowing how she's going to get by. But then the hope of Jesus is going to come into her life. I want you to think about the drug addict. I want you to think about the person who right now is thinking about suicide, but is going to come into that church in a couple months. And is going to hear that there is a peace that surpasses all understanding. I want you to think about the friend who will come to the Christmas program will be able to have, that won't come with you to church for anything, but they'll come to something like that. And then the Holy Spirit's going to hit their heart. I want you to think about the teenagers who don't even know each other that are going to start serving in church, going to graduate college, and then they're going to meet in church. And they're going to look at each other and fall in love and get married and raise kids to be godly children. I want you to think about the thousands of people. Thousands, Jared? There's only hundreds right now. Yeah, thousands. We're going to start running multiple services because God is going to multiply this church. We were joking last night, we'll have church all day. You think we wouldn't preach six times on a Sunday? You're darn right. If people are showing up, we'll preach. Those singers will sing. Are you kidding me? That's why we're here. So I'm asking you today to give, to obey the Lord, to make a sacrifice. Some of you are going to take money out of savings and give today. Now listen to this. The Bible says that when you give, it will be given back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The Bible says that the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The Bible says as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and what?
Harvest.
What's our job in the transaction? Our job is the seed. God's job is the harvest. So we're going to receive a special offering today. And I'm going to ask you to give. I'm going to ask you to make a sacrifice. I'm allowed to ask. Your sacrifice might be 10 bucks. Some of you, your sacrifice might be 1,000. Some of you, you might give 10,000 today. I might not be the biggest giver in here today. I hope I'm not. An amazing man of God taught a message one time that changed my life, and it changed how I view myself. His name's Tommy Barnett. Y'all know him. And the message is, the miracle is in the house. Well, you know what? The miracle we need is financial provision, and I believe with all my heart that the miracle's already in the house. Amen? Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, we pray today. And I just believe in Jesus' name that you are stirring the hearts of the men and women in this church. Father, do a great work in this church today. And do an even greater one going forward. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to let Pastor Sergio come back up because I don't know the details of how you all receive offerings. So there's that, and you probably want that.
Praise God. Let's hear it for Pastor Jared. Amen.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store. And you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.